Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Scorpion's Dance by Jefferson Morley is a focused work of modern American political history that revisits Watergate through the lens of intelligence power. Rather than treating the scandal only as a story of burglars, prosecutors, and presidential tapes, Morley centers the relationship between President Richard Nixon and longtime FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover. The book explores how their uneasy partnership shaped the climate of secrecy, surveillance, and political hardball that defined Washington in the late 1960s and early 1970s. By emphasizing institutional rivalry and personal leverage, Morley frames Watergate as the outgrowth of deeper conflicts inside the national security state. Readers are guided through the pressures of the era, including Vietnam, domestic unrest, and the expanding reach of federal law enforcement and intelligence. The result is an account that highlights character, motive, and bureaucratic maneuvering alongside the better-known timeline of the break-in and its aftermath. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Nixon and Hoover as a relationship of mutual leverage. A central topic is the tense but functional relationship between Richard Nixon and J. Edgar Hoover, portrayed as an arrangement built on leverage rather than trust. The book emphasizes how both men understood the value of information, especially secrets that could protect allies or damage opponents. In this framework, Hoover is not merely a lawman but an operator who controlled an institution with deep files and formidable political reach. Nixon, in turn, is presented as a president who wanted results and loyalty, yet also feared independent power centers inside his own government. Morley's approach invites readers to view Watergate-era decisions as influenced by this continuous bargaining over control of the FBI, control of sensitive investigations, and control of what the public would learn. The dynamic also helps explain why intelligence and law enforcement leaders could act with confidence, expecting politicians to accommodate them. By foregrounding this relationship, the narrative shifts attention from a single criminal episode to a longer-running struggle over who gets to define threats, manage scandals, and set the boundaries of acceptable political combat in Washington. Secondly, the FBI as political force and guardian of secrets. Another key topic is the FBI's institutional role as both an investigative agency and a political actor, especially under Hoover's long tenure. The book explores how the Bureau's accumulated files, informants, and surveillance capabilities created a reservoir of secrets that could influence policy, elections, and reputations. Morley highlights the way this power operated in the shadows, often insulated from public accountability, and how it affected the choices available to presidents and senior officials. In this telling, the FBI is not simply responding to events, but helping shape the environment in which events unfold, including the culture of secrecy surrounding national security and domestic dissent. Readers are prompted to consider how investigative priorities can be steered, slowed, or amplified depending on leadership goals and political calculations. This topic also underscores the long-term consequences of institutional habits when an agency becomes accustomed to operating as a protected center of authority. Scandals like Watergate can appear less like an anomaly and more like a predictable collision between covert methods and democratic oversight. The discussion helps clarify why law enforcement independence is both necessary and perilous when combined with opaque intelligence practices. Thirdly, from covert operations to political dirty tricks, Morley connects Watergate to a broader ecosystem of covert operations and political dirty tricks that blurred lines between national security methods and domestic politics. This topic explores how techniques developed for intelligence work, such as clandestine collection, covert funding, and disinformation, could migrate into campaign strategy and White House operations. The book positions the Watergate break-in as part of a continuum in which actors believed secrecy and aggressive tactics were justified by perceived threats and the high stakes of power. Rather than treating the scandal as a sudden lapse in judgment, the narrative emphasizes permissive assumptions that ends could justify means, that enemies were everywhere, and that institutions could be managed through pressure or manipulation. This framing helps explain why the participants might have underestimated the risks of exposure and overestimated their ability to contain fallout. The topic also draws attention to the moral and procedural degradation that can happen when political leaders normalize clandestine behavior. By tracing how covert mindsets seep into domestic governance, the book encourages readers to examine the structural conditions that allow small illegal acts to grow into systemic crisis, particularly when accountability mechanisms are weak or compromised. Fourthly, intelligence bureaucracy, rivalries, and the making of a scandal. A further topic is the web of bureaucratic rivalries among intelligence and law enforcement institutions and how those rivalries influence the trajectory of Watergate. Morley portrays Washington as an arena where agencies compete for jurisdiction, prestige, and proximity to presidential power. In such an environment, information becomes currency, and selective disclosure or strategic silence can be as consequential as overt action. This topic emphasizes how the internal logic of bureaucracies can drive outcomes that appear irrational from the outside. Leaders may prioritize protecting their agency, their networks, or their legacy, even when broader institutional integrity is at stake. The book's focus on Hoover and the FBI naturally highlights how other actors, including White House staff and intelligence-linked operatives, navigated this terrain with their own incentives. Readers gain a clearer sense of how scandals evolve through a series of defensive moves, turf calculations, and misjudgments about who controls what information. The value of this perspective is that it complements the familiar courtroom and congressional narratives, revealing how behind-the-scenes institutional behavior can accelerate exposure, shape investigative pathways, and determine which facts surface first and which remain buried for years. Lastly, reinterpreting Watergate as a crisis of the national security state. The book's overarching interpretive topic is that Watergate can be understood as a crisis rooted in the national security state, not solely as an episode of campaign misconduct. Morley argues for attention to structures, the normalization of secrecy, the political utility of surveillance, and the habit of treating dissent as a security problem. This lens helps readers link Watergate to earlier and contemporaneous controversies involving domestic intelligence activities, and to the broader question of how democratic systems absorb and restrain clandestine power. By examining the relationship between the president and a powerful spymaster figure, the narrative frames the scandal as a collision between executive ambition and entrenched intelligence authority. The topic invites reflection on how governments justify extraordinary measures during perceived emergencies, and how those measures can persist beyond the moment that created them. It also encourages readers to consider how accountability is enforced when key facts are classified, compartmented, or controlled by agencies with their own interests. This reinterpretation does not replace the standard story of investigations and resignations. Instead, it deepens it by asking why the culture of covert action was so readily available to political leaders and why institutional checks struggle to respond quickly. In conclusion, Scorpion's Dance is well suited for readers who already know the basic Watergate timeline and want a sharper explanation of how intelligence power and personal rivalry shaped what happened. It will appeal to students of U.S. political history, journalism, and national security, as well as general readers who are curious about how institutions behave when secrecy is treated as a governing tool. The main benefit is perspective. The book encourages you to see Watergate not only as a morality tale about individual wrongdoing, but as a warning about systems that reward information hoarding, deniable operations, and blurred legal boundaries. That shift can improve how readers interpret modern scandals, where the same tensions between executive authority, law enforcement independence, and intelligence secrecy remain relevant. Compared with many Watergate books that center court proceedings, congressional hearings, or the famous cast of burglars and aides, Morley's emphasis on Hoover, the FBI, and the underlying power relationships offers a distinctive angle. It is worth buying if you want an account that connects personalities to institutions and explains why the conditions for a break-in and cover-up could exist in the first place, not just how they were exposed. If you would like to support Jefferson Morley, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.